Trick or treat. Give me candy or fuck you.
Oh, man.
The only
you guys always do like less meaningful, more humorous.
The only ghost that lives here is the Holy Ghost.
I don't celebrate Halloween, so that makes me better than you, I'm pretty sure.
Trick-or-treating to rioting in the streets. It's all connected.
Arnold Glasso said, fear is the lengthened shadow of ignorance.
Halloween! Halloween! Halloween!
Welcome to the Epic Podcast, your weekly dose of mental foreplay. My name's Matt.
I'm Jen.
I'm Austin.
I'm Joni.
I'm Christina.
And I'm David.
And this week we are talking about Halloween.
Sorry.
All right. And
that's a wrap.
About this episode, you guys, we're good? His name pretended to
witch laugh.
he'll never calm down.
So Halloween, I mean, we didn't really narrow this thing down before we dove into it, so I'm kind of curious what you guys discovered upon researching Halloween, All Hallows, all that kind of stuff.
Well, first things first, though, I have to say, if you want to watch the video of today's episode, some of us do look different than normal. That's all.
That is true. We are, some of us are wearing Halloween costumes. I am Lady Rainicorn from Adventure Time, and Matt is
Jake the dog from Adventure Time.
And David and I are just people with different hair.
Individual number one.
Just look normal because we don't celebrate Halloween. Never have.
Yeah, the thought didn't even enter my mind, other than we talked about it last week, to wear costumes. But other than that, even preparing for this, it didn't even cross my mind to wear a costume.
So this literally is the first time we've ever, well, I've ever dressed up for Halloween, quote unquote. Have you ever?
Never.
No, we're not really. Wow.
Oh my.
We don't know. We've never been Halloween people.
I was a pastor.
We're better than you.
We're backsliding.
Well, it's funny because I think for me growing up, I celebrated Halloween. I did like the door-to-door trick-or-treating, and then my mom found some friends who were like, that's the devil's birthday. And then we stopped celebrating
the devil's birthday.
We stopped celebrating. So I went from like door-to-door trick-or-treating to like nothing, cold turkey.
You got to go get the devil a present on his birthday now?
Really. And then a couple of years later, it was like, okay, we can celebrate this, but only in a church festival or a harvest thing where, you know, everything's safe and there's no razor blades in the apples and you can do those things. And then
I prefer trick-or-treating where the trick is that you hand them a track.
Right.
Track or treat. Give me candy or I give you the gospel.
I actually wrote about that, something about that, and in my article for this week. Growing up, we did not celebrate Halloween because it was bad, obviously. So what we did, though, I don't know how many years we did this, but it was a number of years. We reverse trick-or-treated. We went and knocked on doors as a church group, not just my family. We went and knocked on doors, but we like, I don't even know what we did exactly. I don't know, because I was
caroling? Is that what you, like?
No, you think, right? No, I know at least one year we handed
Sang
out
worship songs.
We handed out tracks. They had
shine, Jesus, shine.
Took the guitars around with us, no. Oh my word, I can just picture that. No, church had, I don't know if this was like a push that a bunch of different churches did or what, or how this came to be a thing, but we had a bunch of magnets printed with our church, it's probably like a Bible verse and then like maybe our church information or something like that on a light bulb, because light the night. light over darkness. But anyway, we went and took these things to people's houses. We'd knock on the doors and give them a magnet.
A light bulb?
Here's a light bulb for your house.
That's kind of funny.
Actually, that
think
makes
about
me...
light bulbs.
Yes, that's
you,
true.
You just wandered around the neighborhood tricking people, is what you're saying.
Right? The LED light bulbs.
did you care about the environment?
I completely forgot about that, but we actually one time they bought a bunch of light bulbs and they put stickers on the light bulbs.
Oh gosh.
Actually literally took light bulbs to people's houses.
So you just can't use the light bulb ever.
Just see when you catch their house on fire.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. No. Not on the light bulb, the light bulb box.
Oh, okay.
It's in a box.
Here is this useless thing.
Light bulb. We're happy Halloween. Throw it away.
Take this light and put it where there's nothing shining.
Kind of, but I'm going to bring it to serious now, guys. So.
Thanks.
Just okay, because of
what Tina said about her going from door to door and them giving back to the people at the homes, I researched the history of Halloween. And in the early, I think, 1700s in Britain, they actually people would go around and do skits and plays door to door, and then people would either give them money or food. So
it sounds like the relevant the dance fundraiser that came by our house last weekend.
Oh, I missed that.
But
they didn't come to our door. They like we were moving stuff.
Right. Yeah.
They skipped us. We found a
sweet patio set at a yard sale. So we're moving that.
Are you gonna keep that costume on? Because that looks really awkward.
Take it off.
This will be the first podcast where I strip during the show. Just
trying to hold it on your
not sexy enough, you know. We don't have
for this
leggings and short skirts for the guys, so this is my opportunity.
Oh wow.
Don't knock anything over.
What is that, a onesie?
I thought you were a corn dog at first.
Somebody needs to make a gif out of this.
This is still happening.
Oh my word.
Least sexiest strip ever.
No. Oh no. He's
caught up in his head.
Oh, look at that.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
Was this the plan the whole time?
That was the great reveal.
I feel like this was costume
he's the devil
or something here.
For those of you wearing a Viking,
see this. Matt had a costume on under his costume.
Right?
Costume section.
I feel like that might have contributed to the awkwardness of the last costume.
No, this
helped hold it up.
I put a bunch of like Amazon like little filled airbags they put in your package. I put a bunch of those in my head last year. It was really annoying.
Because it kept falling down and like trying to walk around with
this was fast.
I like the costume under the costume. That's clever. Yeah,
that one's pretty cool.
I'll take it. We're horny over here, I guess.
You sure are. Wow.
I am quite as.
I am wearing a headband with a unicorn.
Uh-huh. For those unicorn versus Viking dual horns.
Well,
so.
We all know I'm going to win. With my magical power.
It's true. If you went in a fight, the unicorn would always win. Just stab you in the brain.
Oh, Gormy.
Gormy.
Halloween. Halloween.
So we were making a serious point, I think?
Yes.
Somewhere? No?
I just have a little historical Halloween.
Oh, I heard, the term souling.
Yeah.
And that they would... The same kind of thing as what you were saying, but that they would also offer prayers for the dead or something like that in exchange for food. So similar.
It was about getting souls out of purgatory. Mm-hmm.
That's the Christianized version.
And then homeless people and beggars would go and get soul cakes. In exchange for food, essentially, they would pray for... So I would give you a cake and you'd go pray for my relatives that are in purgatory.
Mm-hmm. I feel like soul cakes is something you get at Popeyes. You know,
like, right.
Well, they had raisins in them.
Corn flour.
That would be rude.
Bebop band. Soul cakes.
K-pop. So my hook, I said, you know, I don't celebrate Halloween. That makes me better than you, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. I don't celebrate Halloween. It's not because, I think for years it was because of a spiritual self-righteousness. There is a reality to to the, let's say, the energy around Halloween that is something that I still debate whether or not I want to even participate in. And to this point, I don't. Mm-hmm. But the joke is that, you know, I'm better than you, is the, it has become somewhat of a self-righteous label. And if you go to Halloween, you go to Easter, you know, the Feast of Estrus, you go to Christmas, where all of these Christian traditions, including Halloween, which is kind of a Christian tradition if you go to All Saints Day, they all were Christianized pagan traditions. And there was a, I think it was labeled as the redemption of time. And there was kind of a movement in the Catholic Church to kind of redeem the calendar. And so the pagan holidays that you hit, such as, you know, it was the Celtic New Year. The October 31st was the Celtic New Year's Eve. So, and then you had Christmas, which was the winter solstice, which was basically heading into winter, where you realize, like, you've got 3 months of death. And so you have the, you know, the death of Jesus Christ. And you have Easter, which is the, you know, the first day of spring and the estrus. And so the redemption of the calendar, the redemption of time, was basically about taking these different pagan holidays and turning them into Christianized versions. But because of that, there's a lot of modern Christians who get their panties in a wad over Halloween, Christmas, and Easter because of their pagan origins. And I don't know if I was ever one of those that did it with Christmas or Easter, but Halloween kind of has always kind of seemed obviously dark. And so it was easier for me to be like, you know, I'm just not going to go there. Mm-hmm. But I've kind of didn't do a whole lot of research other than that I've been teaching around this stuff for years. And there is a lot of self-righteous bullcrap around people who, you know, abstain from Halloween for the sake of spiritual superiority. And that's kind of any angles I have on it are just kind of to punch that thing in the face. And yet at the same time to, you know, I wouldn't mind a serious discussion around any level of darkness or death energy that is around Halloween. And then you get into the modern stuff that's going on with the deep state, and you get into the proven practices of you know, child trafficking and, you know, sacrifices and stuff like that. It's not a secret that Halloween is a pretty legit night for some of that stuff as well. So I think there's enough conversation there to have, but I know there's lots of other ways to take it. But for me, that's I do think it's a bit self-righteous to judge others for celebrating Halloween. At the same time, to have a serious discussion about it is probably something that a lot of families would be interested in.
Well, something that I thought about in the context of the self-righteous thing and the not participating and everything, it just reminded me of the part in the Bible where it talks about not eating meat sacrificed to idols versus eating meat sacrificed to idols, and how that's not, I mean, it's not the same thing, obviously, because it's,
but it kind of is,
but I mean, but it is in, like, mentally, I think, because it's quote unquote participating in something that has a negative background, I guess, basically.
Can you elaborate on that? Those verses, not everybody may know the reference that you're talking about.
Basically, well, I didn't look it up actually before I came. I just came to my
just
mind.
The concept of it.
Just the idea of that there was meat that was sacrificed to idols and then sold in the marketplace, right? And then people, if they knew that it was sold in the marketplace, some people would be afraid to eat it, essentially, or feel like they shouldn't eat it religiously or whatever. And then, was it Paul? I don't remember who said mm-hmm. that. What did he say exactly? Do you remember better than I do? I just know he was like, basically, don't. It's not a big deal.
Basically, if someone serves you, if someone were to serve you meat that was sacrificed to idols, yes. And they draw your attention to it.
Yeah, okay.
Now, this is me unpacking it even more, but if you go look at it, he's saying, and they tell you about it. Mm-hmm. It's essentially, they're drawing attention to some measure of, like, hey, by the way. Mm-hmm. And they are drawing energetic attention and validity to the fact that it was sacrificed to idols. Mm-hmm. And he talks about, you know, not eating of it. But if you do eat meat that's sacrificed to idols and you're not aware of it, it's no big deal. And don't worry about it. And so, and then there's another aspect of dealing with the weaker brethren who think
okay, that yeah, that's it. What I was thinking.
Right. And so there's multiple layers of it, but then you have the weaker brethren who think it is a big deal. And for the sake of the weaker brother who is afraid of it, then just abstain from it. And so this is absolutely a perfect example. So I now acquiesce the floor back to you.
Oh, that was kind of the extent of my thoughts. It's just that the energy that you put into something or the conscience that you have towards something or that you are celebrating around other people or whatever. I mean, there's just a lot of layers to all of it.
If I'm not mistaken, that I think that's where Paul has the quote that I use all the time is all things are permissible.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
I might be, but the point is, yeah, it's absolutely that each one of us may be convicted in our own mind. And there is this, you know, I grew up, I'm sure we all did, where, you know, hey, when you go out to a restaurant, don't order a beer because you don't know who's watching. Mm-hmm. And this like big brother concept of if there's a weaker brother in the room right. who sees you as the worship leader, order a beer, then you're going to cause them to stumble. So don't. And it's very clear contextually that Paul's talking about a known quantity of like, hey, this dude's got a problem. So for the sake of this dude, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't drink in front of an alcoholic. If that alcoholic's struggling, that's just called being nice,
sure. right?
It's called being aware and not being a douche. So I think Paul's recommendation there is not about, you know, hey guys, don't celebrate Halloween because somebody might be offended. It's about the knowing of where people's struggles are and honoring where people are at. And that's where I think so many people have gotten this self-righteous bullcrap that it's a whole nother flip thing of what if the person wants to be self-righteous about, well, I don't eat food sacrificed to idols. If I'm Paul, I'm going to freaking eat that food and make you swallow your self-righteousness. Like it's not about what you're doing. It's about the heart underneath of what you're doing.
Right.
So that's my two cents anyway.
One of the things that caught my ears as we were watching a documentary on it was the idea of people taking the opportunity of Halloween to be what they want to be, but are not. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So like we talked about, you know, the sexual liberation that, you know, women all of a sudden, you know, if you look at women's costumes on Halloween, you go to any kind of Halloween big box stores, it is just slut fest 3000 on most of these women's costumes. Like it's not even an option to find a modest maid or a modest nurse or like it's, if you are going that route, it's your bottom's hanging out of that skirt. But that's what some people, you know, they want to indulge and be that, allow that part of themselves to come out and not be hidden for a day. So, and then I think about how like our approach to it, I was listening to you kind of explain it from, you know, the perspective that you did. And I was like, I don't know if our kids grasp any of that. Like if our kids understand any of that, like it's a time for them to dress up as their favorite character and go knock on doors and get candy. Like,
I don't know. I think our kids, our oldest daughter watched the documentary I watched earlier from the History Channel. And so there were a couple times I looked over and I'm like, how are you doing? Okay. Cause they had some scary moments in it about
Michael Myers,
that and some witches and stuff. And just the whole idea of, you know, taking it back to the Celtic holiday where they actually, it was the start of their new year. And it was also like, this is our harvest time and whatever we collect will either decide if we live or we die for the winter time. And so when you put it on that perspective, it's like, yes, we're beginning the winter solstice, but we're also like, this is our chance to celebrate that passing over, and we may live, we might not live, and this is the season that we're celebrating. And there was also another part where on May 13th was, and I hope I don't mess up the name of this holiday because it's Roman or whatever, like Lumineer. Anyone familiar?
Lumeria.
So it was another day to just celebrate people who had passed in spirits, and they would put cakes on the graves, and they would also pour milks on the grave to keep them from coming up I guess, essentially becoming zombies to come back for them. And so the church took that holiday and put it to All Saints Day to kind of make it less, you know, let's celebrate the saints instead of glorifying
zombies.
The zombies. But I think having children and experiencing life and experiencing death, like, it's part of the process. And if we shy away from never talking about the ones that have passed on and we don't remember them, then what's the point of all of this that we're doing? You know, if we're not giving them, you know, attention and saying, hey, I remember my grandfather and he did this and he was such a great man. But if I don't spend time to that process, then again, why are we doing what we're doing? Why build connections if I'm not going to remember? So
I will say, what's the movie that Disney put out about the Day of the Dead?
Coco.
So we watched that. That's such a great one. And, you know, I was actually really thankful for it because I grew up in the Southwest and had heard of Day of the Dead and really just lumped it in with Halloween. And I grew up celebrating Halloween. Maybe when I was like 10, we were Christian, so my mom figured out it was evil and we stopped and everything. So Day of the Dead, like typical Christians are supposed to. So I lumped Day of the Dead and Halloween kind of together. But I watched that movie and realizing that it was about remembering their ancestors and really appreciated the learning experience of a Disney movie. However, I don't see that so much with Halloween. I can appreciate that holiday now, but I don't see that as a focus of most American families on Halloween.
Right.
And you kind of have both. You know, you have the families that are just, it's a good time to have fun, get dressed up, have candy, and then you kind of have the flip side of the sexy nurse or the guy with the hatchet in his head, you know, and just the really, it's kind of three different extremes. Either it's just family fun or it's depraved, you know, and
it's the modern equivalent. It's the real life equivalent of the Purge.
Yeah, it really has become that, like, all things you can go vandalize people's houses. And that's something that I kind of pushed into was the psychology around why people do what they do, and it's particularly fear, what people get out of fear. Because when I brought up, so I talk to my coworkers every week because they want to know what my podcast topic is. So I said Halloween. I was like, so, you know, in impromptu poll, who, you know, what do you guys think of Halloween? And everyone was like, oh my gosh, I love Halloween. It's my favorite holiday. It's like, okay, you guys have to explain this to me. You know, why is it? And they went into how they enjoyed being afraid. And this is such a foreign thought to me because neither one of us watch scary movies. We don't enjoy them. And they're talking about how much they love them. I'm like, okay, I got to go look into this. So that was a lot of what my research was where does this come from? So these people genuinely enjoy being afraid. And some people genuinely enjoy the gross masks and egging people's houses, and like, so what is this? And it really comes down to people's brains operate differently, and people really do get pleasure out of fear. They talk a lot from, you know, scary movies. There's been a lot of studies done on scary movies and why people like scary movies, and a lot of it is people actually, the pleasure centers in their brain actually light up when they're afraid, and the more scared they are, the more they enjoy the movie. And it's kind of this reverse, they call it like benign masochism, that you actually enjoy feeling uncomfortable, feeling pain. And that was really interesting. It helped me understand where all these people are coming from.
did you find anything on how it relates to S&M? Like physical pain? Seriously?
And no, it's the same thing. And it's actually the same thing for people who like physical pain, like eating spicy food, riding roller coasters.
Well, I mean,
drinking strong alcohol is one of them. You know, it's uncomfortable feeling that people really enjoy. I think we all have some of those to some extent. Everyone has something. And a big part of it was having a feeling of control. You can still be afraid, but you know that the fear is going to end and you're going to be okay. So that was a big thing with scary movies. And I think with Halloween is people know it's all good fun, you know, so it's okay. So it's this feeling of control in chaos and in control in fear.
Mm-hmm. That I can be out of control for a night and it'll be okay.
Right.
The purge.
The purge that people really, really enjoy.
Well, One thing that I think is interesting to note, because Joni talked about people enjoying being scared, and that the actual first Halloween scary movie wasn't until 1978. But if you take it back prior to like in the 30s, like through the Great Depression, the tricks were so bad with like literally burning down buildings and putting buggies on top of hay bales. And it was just so bad that they had to say, we have to change the projection of how children are engaging in Halloween or we're not going to have an America kind of thing. And so they like, wow. They literally started like making different marketing skills of like, you know, try this costume on and try going, doing this party and doing this. And it was like this actual switch of something has to change or we're not going to survive this one night a year kind of thing.
They essentially added the or treat. It was essentially tricks. It was all tricks. And then they basically said, we need a different option. So let's add.
Well, yeah, it was like some lady was just like, I'm going to try giving them candy and see if my house remains unscathed here.
It worked. She had an open house and had kids come in and her house was like not messed with.
Fine. So. You know, it was funny listening to that because do you remember what I said when we were watching it? Mm-hmm. I was like, kids these days.
And like, our daughter was like, you mean those days? And we're like,
yeah. That's the point, yeah. Like we always... We're constantly talking about how kids are so bad these days.
When I was a kid, I was so much more of an angel.
Right?
Yeah. But no, I'm really intrigued with the whole history of it because I think being passed down generationally, like this is what it was, or this is, you know, the devil's birthday. And then to see it from a non, I guess, religious bias of like, no, this is the history of it was really kind of.
Well, seeing, like, I'd always read it as Samhain.
I Googled it. It's Samhain.
Samhain.
But it is spelled Samhain.
Right.
It's that Celtic holiday that we don't pronounce after those letters.
Since we went back to the Celtic holiday, I wanted to touch. I thought I had lost my window, so I might as well just
always bring back. Myself.
Dive through the window, David.
Diving through the window at the moment.
With your wig.
Fit. At this holiday, they thought that the line between the, what was it, the other world and the whatever, this physical present.
Other dimensions. Yeah.
The line between the dimensions was blurred or weakened
thin,
or something.
The thinnest. Thin.
And so it was a perfect time for the druids to do some future telling. Mm-hmm. And... I'm going to read this because it actually says it way better than I would for sure. For the people entirely dependent on the volatile natural world, those prophecies were an important source of comfort and direction during the long, dark winter. And I was like immediately, hey, this is a way to instill beliefs in the people. The leaders of the tribe, the leaders of the group would instill beliefs in the people during the hardest time of their year when a lot of people died, because that's that's why you're celebrating death or you're remembering the people that died, because you're starting the part of the year that symbolizes being dead or whatever. And so I thought that was just really interesting that this festival, Samhain or whatever name it, Samhain, was they used this time to also instill some good beliefs in the people. Yeah, we're gonna make it through this winter. We're gonna, you know, we had a great harvest. We're gonna not die. We're not gonna get the bubonic plague, you know. So yeah. Point inserted.
Ultimate vision casting.
Closing the window.
Closing the window. Well, actually, I'm climbing out of the window first.
So the window's at its thinnest right now. So.
Yes.
Your outfit does make you look a bit like a burglar who would climb out the window.
Reminds me of the singer from like LMFAO.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting, though, because I think that, like, don't people still have that notion today in the sense that the kind of rituals and stuff that they do, isn't it related to the time of year and the moon cycles and all that kind of thing? I don't know. I didn't actually look it up, but
I do know it's a bigger deal, like when Halloween falls on a new moon or a full moon. You know, I remember that as a kid, we always heard about, you know, the satanic aspect of Halloween. That was really the thing that got my mom and was instilled in us, was that, you know, they use this time because it's widely known as a time where the line between this world and the next is thin. So they would do child sacrifices and sacrifice cats and, you know, all sorts of rituals and stuff like that. And that was what got my mom and was instilled in us. And I haven't really looked into it. I know it's a thing. It's not really the reason why I don't now. I really don't. It just doesn't register to me much anymore. I just really don't think about it as something to celebrate because we just didn't really grow up with it.
Yeah. People sacrificed cats? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I still remember, like, we had a cassette tape that was a whole thing on all the stuff that happens on Halloween night. And it was like, keep your animals inside. And
I'm just curious though. Sorry, go ahead, Austin.
I feel like I knew some people whose cats disappeared that night.
Yeah. I remember hearing about it.
And I don't know if there might be some people out there that are intentionally like, I'm going to take this cat and sacrifice it. But I think a lot of it has to do with kids doing inappropriate things because it's trick or treat day and I'm going to smash a pumpkin.
There was an altar.
Do something with, yeah.
Well, there was an altar found next to one of the schools that I went to. Mm-hmm. That there was multiple dead cats.
For real.
Yeah.
Is that because you were at a private Christian school or?
That was one of the things. Yeah, they had the prayer walk and all that stuff. But yeah.
Oh, they probably prayer walked like 7 times that time.
Yeah,
they found the altar.
And do you want? Well, so there's a reason. I'm gonna go there. I'm just gonna go there.
Well, okay, I'm
curious. Go ahead, Christina. Go ahead, Christina.
I grew up. Just as a side note, I grew up with like kind of like the fear aspect of things, like Joni was talking about a little bit. And at the time, I thought it was completely all legit. And we had this. And I know that some of it is, but I know that there's also relevancy to the quote unquote satanic panic of the 80s.
I've never heard that before.
Literally haven't either. Yes, it's totally true.
Bells. Have you ever listened to Stairways of Heaven backwards? It is pretty freaking creepy.
Ooh.
Well, like Another One Bites the Dust too.
There's some pretty creepy stuff in
there. That just got marijuana.
That's the thing. Like, it's so confusing, you know, because, what's, you know, real and what's not. And the whole thing, like I said in the beginning, my hook, something about fear is the longer shadow of ignorance or something like that. And so I know that there was a lot of stuff that was heightened. And my biggest, like, what moment, this was back, I think, when we did QAnon or something that I was researching. I discovered that there were these records that we had growing up that we would play on a record player, and it was with this comedian, Mike Warnke. He was a very well-known at the time Christian comedian. I had no idea until doing the research for QAnon that he made up his stories, essentially, supposedly,
made up
according stories? To, well, okay, but he was, it was like a testimony thing where he used to be a Satanist and all this kind of stuff, supposedly, in his testimony. But according to, like, all the people that knew him, they're like, there's no way that he could have done all this stuff. Like,
so he just made up his testimony?
Supposedly. Yes. And
it was a big deal.
Wow.
I hadn't known about that. So all these kinds of things.
Some of his jokes, too.
And I don't know, like, there's obviously the negative side of things. There's the evil side of the world, you know, stuff that really does happen. But it's like, on the one hand, they're freaking people out by making it a lot bigger than, well, for one thing, a lot more powerful than it has to be. But also just making stuff up, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so you have real stuff to tell us, Austin.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if it was related to the cat sacrifice altar. I don't even think it was. But when I was in junior high and we had, Spirit Week was combo at this. I was at a Christian school, so it was a combo of like wear your team colors, and that's when homecoming was. I mean, it was, you know, woo, you know, our school, our mascot, and all of that stuff. But it was also we had chapel as a school every Tuesday, except during Spirit Week, it was every day, right? And so we'd have like an hour long chapel 5 days in a row. And it was basically like a mini revival. And during that week, they would have the parents, different parents, walk around the school and pray. And when I was in eighth grade, seventh or eighth grade, I was in junior high. My mom was on the prayer team. And we didn't compare stories until years later, but we both remembered exactly when it was. And during Spirit Week, I two nights in a row went to bed and woke up. I get it. It sounds weird, but it's freaking legit. And when you have these experiences, people can tell you that spirituality and all that stuff is mumbo jumbo. And you can just look at them and go, you know what? My life proves otherwise. So screw you. Because I've had people like, really? And I'm like, you
just
know what?
Spit it out.
20 years old. And I woke up being choked by a freaking demon ghost thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I could not breathe. The first night I was on my back and I had hands around my neck. Mm-hmm. And I opened my eyes and I literally saw a gray. It looked like a freaking horror film. It had two sunken eyes and it looked like a shadowy ghost figure. It was choking me. Mm-hmm. And I literally mumbled the word Jesus and it left. And then the next night I was too afraid to sleep on my back. So I was sleeping on my stomach and I got half Nelsoned. If you understand wrestling, I was being half Nelsoned into my pillow. So I couldn't breathe again. And I yelled the word Jesus into my pillow and I put my head up and I looked out and this thing left out my door. I found out years later, my mom got attacked those same two nights.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So. Definitely. that's a different kind of thing really than all the kind of other, like the rituals and all those kind of stories that are still, I'm sure, a thing, but it just sucks that some people play into it so much and make up things that actually didn't happen. But that kind of thing though, like the demonic stuff, we all know, or I think we all believe that that's relevant.
I think a lot of people listening don't. They believe it's all spiritual mumbo jumbo by religious people.
And that's what I was going to say, is that it just to let people know that it is a reality, because it's a long-standing tradition that the line between worlds is thin that night, and you know, you add the moon cycles and stuff, and people with evil intentions do take advantage of that, and it creates a vibration and a reality. There's this energy around this holiday, even if you know your family doesn't, and I have no qualms about people, you know, just having a good time and dressing up, but just to know that there is an energy around it and that these things are going on, and they're not going on, you know, innocently. On other days of the year. Yeah. And they're not going on innocently.
So, but do you have any thoughts about why that thing would have been bothering you at that time and then not after that?
It was a bad bit of mustard.
Was it the actual time of year, or because I don't think you said what time of year it was, did you?
It was homecoming, so.
Oh yeah, you did. But that, so.
Which I guess kind of actually is around Halloween, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
It's close.
It's in Arizona. I've never even remotely tried to make that correlation. Mm-hmm. So this is, I'm not bringing this up on the Halloween podcast to say that on Halloween I got attacked by demons. I'm not saying that. I can't remember the specific dates. I'm bringing it up to say that the demonic and darkness and dark spiritual realms are real. Right. Mm-hmm. And people who flip out over, so the religious people who like judge everybody for putting a wig on and saying that you're participating in the devil's birthday, like freaking calm down, right? But the people who deny that there's anything to even consider also need to be aware, no, there's something to consider. And so with so many things in the spiritual realm is an awareness of something that is, and yet when you realize that humans are divine creators with our belief, that if all of humanity stops believing in certain things, they will go away. Literally, war exists because we believe in it. Huh. Right? That's a very tangible example of that nature doesn't do that. Like, and so if we could just balance the reality that certain things exist because we've created them. Mm-hmm. And if we stopped creating them, they would stop existing. And then here's the rub, but they do exist. Therefore, pretending they don't isn't exactly the answer.
I was going to say, then what do you do with Halloween? You know, do we draw more attention to that aspect of it, or do we just let it be innocent and fun? You know, it's hard to know what to do with that.
Well, I ran across someone saying that you should, that the concept of, you know, laughing at evil, which, like, to disarm it, quote unquote, which is, I don't know.
See, and do we want to comment on that one?
Well, Jen was.
Sorry, go ahead. I was just gonna say
that I think there is, in order to you know, stop believing in war, I have to trust that you are not going to make weapons of destruction and that you are not going to come and attack me. And so there's a certain level of trust and a certain level of faith to say, I'm going to take the appropriate steps to get us to the end goal, and I'm going to trust and have faith that everyone else is going to collectively do the same. And so when I think about Halloween and I think about all the evil intentions people have, because I have experiences where I do believe people put spells on me and whatnot, that I have to know myself well enough to know, like, hey, something's trying to get into my zone and I need to keep that in check. And then I have to trust in my abilities and my beliefs that I'm going to be able to move forward and conquer these things. Because just like, I'm going to end with that, so.
Yeah, that was a natural stopping point.
It's going to end there. So enjoy that nugget.
What I was going to say in regards to this is that what I have seen in our society, though, has been a fascination mm-hmm. with this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not a realization that it's evil. It's it's evil, but it's really interesting. And, you know, and so you see a lot of people like trying these weird rituals or whatever. And I mean, even in the, even in the history of this festival, there were things that people did, like, you know, trying to see who they were going to marry and standing in front of mirrors and holding a candle and trying to see if there was an apparition of who they were going to marry that would stand up beside them. And, you know, dripping, I saw one of them was lead. Oh, okay. Egg whites, dripping egg whites into hot water to see if they could come up with the initials of the person that they were going to marry. And so there was a whole lot of this aspect of divination and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And so, like, kind of getting in touch with the spirit world or whatever. And so
that was before the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like some horny virgin nerds or something like that. Show me the initials of her name.
But like, even
can't wait any longer.
Like, even like the whole Bloody Mary thing. Have you heard of the Bloody Mary thing? Like, you know, you can see
what school age kid hasn't.
Trying that kind of crap during Halloween and trying to scare the shit out of themselves and stuff. And so there is a very big fascination for that kind of stuff. And I don't know.
That said, if there's a healthy or there's a significant amount of fascination about that stuff, is it better to provide a day or, you know, a time period where people are, where it's kind of acceptable to go after and pursue that stuff versus kind of keeping it, you know, underneath where it's kind of taboo and nobody's ever able to kind of look at that and in a healthy
well is way. It looking at it or is experimenting healthy. With it, because I think that's two different things. I mean, But you can educate yourself about something you don't
think. Did you just literally propose the purge?
I put air quotes for healthy. I don't know.
Divination experiment is what I think he was alluding to, not killing lots of people.
Yeah.
But I also like,
well, whatever works.
For some people, it's just another form of spirituality and rituals and going, just like people pray and go to church. Like, it's a different lens. And so, you know, I think it's safe to say most people on this call are coming from that Christian perspective, where there might be people out there and be like, well, you know what, going to church and saying your Hail Marys is a really weird concept and you're all going to hell. Like, it's just different perspectives and different ways to get to filling your soul with spirit.
And whenever sacrifice comes up, I love it when Christians lose their minds over it.
Right.
You read your Bible?
Like, it's all about blood and sacrifice.
Not only that, like, the main guy you worship was supposedly a blood sacrifice to please your bloodthirsty, angry dad. Like, your theology is a bit screwed up and you don't understand it. But I digress. Christina, I feel like you had a point.
Shoot, what was it in relation to, do you think? When did it look like I had a point? Because I did, but I forget what it was.
Matt just totally went all over you, and then I added, and Jen added, and it was crazy.
Yeah, I forget when it was after.
I was talking about how they're, you know, is it healthy to, you know, to kind of allow for a time of year
before, oh, right,
kind of pursue these.
Oh, ideas. The whole concept of experimenting with something versus just like actually educating yourself. Sorry, our daughter is crying. Should we stop it for a second? Or,
well, I guess we have to now.
Not really.
Just keep going.
we can barely hear it.
Okay, good. I don't know. I don't think you have to get all knee deep in something in order to know whether it's a good idea or not. You know, I don't know.
Something I pushed into a little bit was the whole idea of wearing the costumes and what that does to people. Mm-hmm. And that was part of my hook was, you know, from trick-or-treating to rioting, you know, there's a connection. And that they did studies with kids and trick-or-treating. And so they watched kids, and someone would come to the door, greet the kids, and then say, sorry, I have to go work, you know, take one piece of candy. And they'd watch the kids. And of course, the kids who weren't being watched took more than one piece of candy. If there was a parent there, they were less likely to steal more candy. If there was a group of kids, they were more likely to steal because the friends would all get involved. Mm-hmm. And then if they were wearing a costume and they were anonymous, they were more likely to steal. And I looked at that, and that was something even with adults that happens on Halloween, is that they're more likely to have a higher blood alcohol content, more likely to be angry, violence, to be destructive, because
I am anonymous, so it's okay.
Third costume. But what that does, having a mask on, that it disassociates you from your identity. In the same study, they found that if the person at the door asked the kids their name and where they lived, suddenly it brought identity to them, even if they were wearing a mask, and then they were less likely to steal more than one piece of candy, because all of a sudden they were identified and it brought them back to who they were supposed to be.
They also trying to get away from that creeper's house. Like, what's your name, little kid? Where do you live? Are your parents home?
They also did it with, they put a mirror behind the bowl of candy, and they noticed when kids had to come face to face with themselves, even if they were wearing a mask, it brought them back to reality of what society tells them they should be, and they were less likely to steal. So just that concept of what a mask does and how it relates to behavior on Halloween was really fascinating to me, that it does create, it does add to our inhibitions and allows us to be freer, because we're not who we are, that we can pretend like we're someone else or pretend like we're immune to society's rules and what's socially acceptable.
Two thoughts on that. Go ahead.
I've met people who have like different rules for Halloween.
Mm, yeah.
different rules for how they act.
I've worked with guys that are like, you know, a subject comes up like blah, 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 except for Halloween. Mm. You're like, holy crap.
Mm. Yeah. Two thoughts on the stuff you were saying, Joni. So energetically speaking, like a lot of people are familiar with the concept that you dress for the job you want, or you like you wear your clothes to some extent wear you. Is that what I'm trying to say? You wear your clothes wear you. Like what you put on affects your mood. Like we know that based on like if you dress up versus if you're wearing pajamas. But a lot of people just haven't recognized that probably with costumes. Like you're saying, it's a very real thing. But then the other thought, when you said if the kid was asked their name, and that totally sparked in my mind a reminder of when Jesus asked the
Gadarene.
Yeah, he asked him his name, and a lot of teachings have been that he was asking the demon his name, but I've heard other teachings that he was really asking the man his name, and that was like bringing out his identity. To me, that connected in that way for Jesus to be bringing out the man's identity so that he could connect with the real him. I thought that
people have never heard that.
Yeah,
interesting. Well, we got anywhere else to go with this thing? I'd be lying if I wasn't curious what kind of rules your fellow, former coworkers.
Okay. I'm sure you can imagine.
I mean,
is it like what stays and happens in Vegas stays in Vegas kind of thing, or?
Yeah, and one of the questions when they came up, like it was about who's cheated.
On Halloween,
it was like,
doesn't count.
No, I've never cheated except last Halloween doesn't count. Like me and my wife, kind of thing.
That's weird.
Like, yeah. There's the. Did anybody look at crime statistics on Halloween?
I know violence and vandalism. Well, we had one year we were out of town for Halloween. We came back and someone had thrown a pumpkin through the back window of his car.
Yep.
He had glass in the speakers of his car for years. They never did get all the glass out. Glass everywhere inside his car, just demolished. And they do it just because it's Halloween. So it is like modern day purge. It's just a free for all.
So dumb.
Oh my word.
I guess, like, who gets to decide when the energy shifts on something like that? You know, because we talk about, okay, well, should we celebrate it? Should we not? How do you celebrate it? What's good? What's not? But realistically speaking, I mean, I think people have to want something different collectively as a society or as the world or whatever. And I did run across someone saying that I totally forget who it was, but the concept of desensitizing and how, it was related to the stuff that you were talking about, Austin, with baby sacrifice. And I don't know if that was before we started recording or not.
The deep state?
Yeah, the deep state stuff. How all of that group, and I think, I do have it in my notes, actually. It was the whole 13 bloodlines thing, and that groups get together and do these rituals in like six different locations in the U.S. Something like that. It was in a YouTube video I watched. It was something that a lady named Arizona Wilder brought out, and then a bunch of other people were bringing out.
David Icke. Yeah, it's the 13 bloodline, the 13 bloodlines that rule the world. The Rothschilds.
Okay. There you go. Gotcha.
And how they do these different things. And that the whole push towards more and more fascination and enjoyment and stuff from all of this crap is like basically from what they're saying is the underlying goal of these bloodlines so that people are desensitized, which growing up, I feel like people are a lot more desensitized now. There's the whole Twilight. There's the whole, like, all these different things that are, you know, okay, there's a good story, blah, blah, supposedly. But realistically, we're talking about vampires and werewolves and all these things that, oh, they're just, you know, if only they could be human and then we would have good relationships and I don't know, whatever. I never watched Twilight.
Case in point, Jeffrey Epstein, now the idea of a global pedophile ring that includes mass, very powerful people in politics, Hollywood, and media, people are like, oh, that's interesting. Mm. I mean, think about it, 50 years ago, that would have been riots in the streets to freaking string them up. Mm. But now it's like, well, you know, I mean, whatever. Well,
I half wonder if how much of it is that they just don't believe, that some people just don't believe it, or, oh, well, what can we because do about it? Or what?
Because they've been desensitized. It's not,
it's not strange.
It's the normalization, the desensitization, and then obviously the normalcy bias. But it's,
who is this they that would string them up? I mean, you're aware of it, but to my knowledge, you have not, you know, begun to work that way.
Touche.
I have plans to take over the world there, but they don't. Actually, one of those major plans originated with you, my friend.
Right on, man. We're good.
Actually, you know what? That's actually a perfect segue into, you're talking about what, who shifts the energy, who decides. So, and I think everyone on this call was on our New Age Christianity community call last night. And this has been something that's been kind of swirling, is this like, okay, how do you balance the awareness of what is with the fact that the moment humans stop believing in it, it will stop existing? So let's use war as an example. War is. And how do you stop genocide in a third world country? You use war. And it's kind of that, like, okay, so if I see a pedophile raping a child, I will pull the trigger. It's what energy am I going to pull the trigger with? Am I going to pull the trigger with judgment, hate, you need to die, scum, and not recognize the divinity in that dude who is literally raping a child? Or do I pull the trigger to stop the violence and end the cycle? At the same time, in my heart, there is forgiveness and love and sorrow for the fact that I just had to kill that person. And so the energy in which you go to war, the energy in which you stop abuses, the energy in which you celebrate Halloween matters. And I think a lot of people, they celebrate in an ignorant energy. And ignorant energy is essentially like neutral. So if you have a bunch of people over here in darkness, and then you have a bunch of people over here in ignorance, it's essentially a non-factor. And they're, well, I'm just having fun. But if you can have a handful of people, like those listening to this podcast, to go, wow, there is a real darkness, but I'm going to enhance the light inside of Halloween with a higher vibration. And to be honest, yes, a lot of church harvest festivals and spread the light with stickers on light bulbs, like, some of that is really good. Mm-hmm. Now, you also have to look at the energy of fear that's underneath that. I think a lot of churches are afraid and they give a whole lot more power to the, there has to be a peace and a calmness and a, hey, it's okay what is, but we're going to improve it. And so, you know, again, are you afraid of the next war and you're going to go into this like, I'm going to come in with this positive energy, but underneath it, there's this massive fear of war versus, no, I'm at peace with what is, but I'm also going to change it. And it is a razor's edge of energy that you have to walk of, I'm aware of what is, I'm aware that it needs to change, but I'm not at fear for the change itself. And I'm not at fear of what is. And I think Halloween is a perfect subject to say, if you can become aware of what is and you can realize that there's some things underneath it that could be changed, but doesn't mean that you go to a party with ignorance, and it also doesn't mean that you go to a party with fear, but go to a party in power and realize that you are beautifully celebrating a night where you can dress up and enjoy the fun of pretending to be somebody else, and obviously stay away from the darkness, stay away from that, those, the purge style behaviors, and enjoy it in a beautiful way, more power to you. And that to me is, it is all energy. It is absolutely about the energy in which you do something. And you can look up 10 people dressed up in the same costume at the same party, and you can get 10 different energies in which they're, and why they're there, and what, how they're doing it. And so your actions don't really freaking matter at that point. It is the energy in which you're doing them. And that to me is the quote unquote answer to what do you do with Halloween and how do you fix it?
And side note to that, when you were talking about the person raping the kid, and using a gun or whatever, it made me think, like, we talk about the evil side of things, the demons, but we don't, we rarely talk about the angels and how, or I guess you could say the good, yeah, the angels. And the only reason I bring that up is because I feel like we could be utilizing them a lot more in the same way that quote unquote evil people utilize demons. And we were actually part of an angel class recently, and the people in the class, like, they activate their angels to do things. And so I think there's just a lot of stuff that we haven't tapped into as much as we could that would further all of the stuff that we want to further as well, potentially.
The quote unquote dirty little secret is that all of the demons that exist, that none of them have come in front, they're not, the whole idea of fallen angels and all that, that the demons that exist, and they are created by divine humans who have the capacity to create evil energies. And in the same way, if you create light energies, you actually are also creating angelic energy. And then there's other classifications of angels and stuff like that. But absolutely, if you were to put into your energy an intention that you are actually giving an angel an assignment, you're giving an energy an assignment. And it's actually it's a way to take that energy outside of the passive subconscious to more of an active conscious of, I'm going to do this and I'm going to activate it to go outside of me. There is absolutely something to that. And obviously the demonic side and sacrifices and satanic this and all that, they've kind of understood the role that their energies can play, and they activate it in a darkness and they send it out, and they send out curses and they send out hexes and all that stuff. So we try to send out blessings and we send out healing, and what we're really doing is we're sending an energetic messenger, an angel. And there's more to it than that, but for this podcast, it's enough.
Yeah. This isn't an angel and demons podcast.
Well, we've been going for a while though. You guys ready to go around the circle?
Sure. Halloween, I'm going to keep celebrating it with it. And I think I'm going to be more intentional about my personal energies and when I'm out and about. Like I said, I think I've mentioned it before, it's a pretty big deal at my 9-to-5 job. Like, we don't work that day. Every department picks a theme and we do skits, and it's this big ordeal. And that's kind of, I think, amped my engagement with it and being more like, oh, family costumes, and it all ties together. And so for me, I'm surrounded by a lot of light when it comes to Halloween. We live in a really amazing neighborhood, and all of our neighbors are not smashing our pumpkins, and they're walking around in a peaceful way. And I think that is something that I'm going to try to send out, and hopefully it can be contagious to people that I engage with and people that are listening, because there is good and positivity around, centered around Halloween out there. Just, you got to find it or create it.
Yeah. And to bounce off of that, I think anybody listening, like, if you celebrate Halloween, more power to you, but do it with intention. Is add that an intention of realizing that there's, you know, I would encourage people to not you know, walk around with the axe in the head and the and that death dichotomy, but the light dichotomy, because there is something to zombies and, you know, axe murderers and chainsaw this, and like there's something there that I would say, look, if you're going to celebrate Halloween, do it on the light side. And it's one of those things that I haven't celebrated Halloween in years. I don't know the last time we were invited to a Halloween party or it even came up. But if I was, I wouldn't mind going, and but I would do a costume and I would bring an intention that wasn't death and decay and fear and all that stuff. And I have a cousin who actually has a very successful podcast that kind of focuses on horror films and Halloween and stuff like that. You know, I haven't talked to him in years. He's on the side of the family that we kind of got cut off 20 years ago. But it's one of those things, like it's just such a dark energy around some things about Halloween that if you're going to celebrate it on the light side and bring some intention to that season that over time, I think 20 years from now, I mean, I can remember when we were kids, Halloween was very different than it is now. And so 20 years from now, could Halloween be a costume time that didn't have all that death and demonic stuff? Possible. That'd be amazing. That'd be great.
We might have to kill all the people who love that, who have the pleasure centers.
That's the way to start.
In love.
Kill them all, but we can not have the right. death stuff. That right, makes exactly. total sense.
Joni.
Did you have any parting words?
Sorry, I'm waiting for Christina.
Oh, sorry. I jumped in there. I went out of line.
That's out of line. Totally out of line.
Totally out of line. I didn't really have any major thoughts. I was thankful for the experience to be able to look into, to be able to better understand people, because there's a whole lot of people who really love the holiday. And I've always kind of thought, you know, there's something wrong with all y'all. All of you. Like, this is not right. And I'm like, you know, that people can genuinely enjoy the holiday and even enjoy the scary movies. People do get enjoyment out of that. I don't understand it and it doesn't make sense to me, but it takes all kinds of people to make the world go round, as they say. So I've at least come to better understand a whole new group of people.
After that jumping in, I kind of forgot what I was actually... Oh, I know. the stuff I was talking about in the beginning with us going out and handing out light bulbs in this or that form, I didn't mean it in a, like, this was a crappy, stupid, oh, how silly we were, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was done with good intention, for sure, and with love. And for the most part, I don't think it was done with fear either. However, that is definitely the underlying energy that I felt growing up with Halloween and stuff around it was fear and like, oh, we have to intercede in spiritual warfare over the night so that things don't, you know, go really downhill, which, I mean, there's, like we've talked about, there is something to that, I think. But as Austin also said, the energy behind how you're doing something. And I guess where I'm at right now with all of it is that I don't fear it anymore. And I'm not uncomfortable with, like, our kids a couple years ago randomly decided to make up costumes. And back in the day, I would have been like, oh my word, no, we don't want to have any association with the holiday at all. But at that time, it was like they were very innocent about it. It was really just a thing of fun. And it was nice to be in the place, it is nice to be in the place where I'm not afraid of it. It's not something that I'm really concerned about. At the same time, I definitely don't want to play into any of the negative energy around all of it. And I don't know exactly how we shift all of that other than, I guess, how we shift anything in life, and just starting with our own energy. That's really all we can start with.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to think about how to shift the energy. I read today, one of the traditions that I had read was, and I can't remember exactly what group of people did it, but the concept of, like, they would have a meal and they would set places for their deceased relatives and open all the windows so that they could come and eat, and then like make conversation in a sense. And tell them, you know, what had happened in the year and so on and so forth. And I thought about it. I was like, you know, it's not a completely weird idea, you know, not the whole, you know, trying to communicate and so on and so forth, but a time to spend reminiscing about the people that aren't in our lives anymore. And kind of like a time to look back and to learn about our families and stuff like that. And I thought, you know, maybe that would be something that you could redeem it as, you know, a way to look back at our ancestry day, you know, we come from here, et cetera. I don't know. Just a thought.
Are you suggesting we do that in our family?
I love doing that.
It doesn't make sense.
That sounds like a fun. I'll come over, David, and we can have a meeting.
I honestly love
with Oliver.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the dinner or about dinner part, but
I'm down with everything except opening. Like, why do you need to open the windows?
No. I didn't say
they can obviously go in and out. Well, however they
okay.
want.
Okay.
Right? No, spirits and winds. Is it good?
I know.
Helps the milk, Christina.
Rotten grandpa. What about milk?
What? I said it helps them out.
Oh, helps them out.
Opening the windows. I see. Helps them out.
Yeah.
It shows that you're inviting.
I guess. There we go.
There you go.
I was talking more about the ancestry.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah.
Well, I was pretty much a poopy pants when it came to preparing for this this podcast. I was completely unexcited by the idea of talking about Halloween for an hour. But it did give me a lot of time to reflect on my experience with the holiday and how much it's changed depending on what region of the country I'm in, the age of my life that I'm in that place. And then, you know, Jennifer alluded to it earlier, but just, you know, that's the thankfulness that we're in a neighborhood now where it's kind of like, it's one of the destination neighborhoods where, you know, those places where you get those full-size chocolate bars. Oh, yeah. We're not the house that gives them out, but... But yeah, it's just, and it's fun, you know, like she talked about the way her work gets, you know, gets things going. I got the kids out of school. We got dressed really fast. We shot over to her office place and went through there. And it was fun being in like a family themed attire. And then I'm feeling Teletubbies for one of these upcoming here. Bring that kind of energy wherever we go. But I enjoy going through the neighborhoods, knocking on doors. Like I've done the harvest festivals at churches, the trunk and treats, and you know, it's a very expedient way to get candy, but it was definitely a lot more intimate and fun, you know, especially as like a 10-year-old kid where I was finally off the leash from my parents. I could just go wherever, just running through neighborhoods and, you know, filling up my pillowcase with candy as fast as I could, and you know, getting home and pulling out the hall and dumping it on the carpet and remembering, okay, I'm not supposed to eat this or this or this. Oh, who made homemade stuff? Well, see ya. And then, I don't know, just I've got a lot of fond memories that go along with it. And then at the same time, I, you know, it was also that time of year where when I got older, I was like, Bloody Mary. And, you know, if a friend had a Ouija board, you could, I don't know, just all the stupid stuff that came out that time of year. I don't know, like it's part of the year that makes the rest of the year what it, you know, stand out for its very unique parts of it. And I enjoy the variety. And I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, this hour, this conversation that I feel was ultimately worth having, even though I was a poopy pants about it. Hop says, Hop says go to theepic.org and check out our Patreon page. All sorts of good opportunities to keep the show going. That's right, Hops. Tell him.
He hates that.
It was good, though. It was on demand.
Oh, every time. It's easy.
That said, see you guys later.